Hello, this is Tom Williams, and you are listening to our new segment. It is the Talking Reviews. My guest reviewer is a fellow critic who is an expert on theater and an expert on baseball, too, Al Breslov. Hello, Al.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
Great. I thought it would be great to have you talk about the Chicago Children's Theater show, Hannes and Me, now playing at the Goodman.
Well, I heard you say I'm an expert. I'm not an expert. I've just been a season ticket holder and been to a lot of baseball games. I did love the show. I thought it was probably one of the best things. In fact, I think I would like to see that show not as a children's theater show, but as a show for everybody, because that's what it is. It's really
it's adult friendly show.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's just something it's heartwarming. It's also a great story. And kids, the kids sitting around me were young, and they were really into it. They were watching it.
Yeah, I didn't think it would play to the 8-9-year-olds as much as it would play to, 10-12-year-olds. But it seemed to play very well with it.
There was a little girl sitting behind me. I don't think she was more than 7 or 8. Her eyes, I don't think she blinked.
Wow.
She was just amazed at what she saw, and I was amazed at watching her. And it was just a delightful show.
Well, it's a show about Hannes Wagner, who's one of the traditional ball players, and this kid, the perpetual loser, the kid that always makes the last out. See, I can relate to that. I was usually the guy that made the last out because you had to get in the game.
Yeah, I was lucky to get off the bench most of the time.
Yeah.
That's why I say I watched a lot of baseball.
Yeah, me too.
When I was in high school, I think I was the fourth string catcher. And I used to do a lot of writing down in a notebook and watching everything. And
that's why we end up writers, I think.
Yeah, I think so, because I did a lot of writing. Every pitch that everybody do, but it's not just about the kid being the perpetual loser, but it's about more than that he all of a sudden becomes somebody that he learns about life, and I think the beauty of the story is that he's looking for something that's going to bring his family back to the way it was and make him the winner and all the dreams that somebody from a divorced home would have, and he has the biggest dream in the world. I mean, have Wagner come back and come from time and come in your room and give you that opportunity to win a ball game and all the neat things that happen. And
yeah, that was cute.
Got the kids. I think the kids who are just amazed at how this kid reacts to everything.
Well, and it proposed that the baseball card is worth $1 million, and that there'd be this magic bullet and life would change. And it was a good lesson to the kids because that is not what happens.
Right. Not what happened, and life does not work that way.
Yeah, and that's a solid lesson about it. Even though the kid was changed and he was helped by it, and never give up your dream. But it had a good sense of morality too. I think it's a terrific show for a father and a son. And that's rare in theater.
Right. There's not many things that you can go to where you sit down and from the very beginning. I mean, the actors were throwing baseballs, little rubber balls back and forth with the audience. And the kids were like running around, and then I thought, oh my God, how are they going to get them to calm down now? You got them all worked up. It's like giving them cotton candy before they go into a class. They're going to be all hyped up because they've been throwing the ball and catching it and all that. But they did. They quieted down.
They sure did.
And they just loved it.
Well, that Tim Rock, it's a breakout role for him too.
Yeah,
he plays the boy.
He was magnificent.
Yeah, I mean, a great supporting cast of equity players, but I thought Tim Rock stole the show. And this kind of balances out the little girl show, the High School Musical that's around that appeals to the little girls. So if your family has little boys and little girls, you take the boy to the Hannes and Me and the girl to see High School Musical, and they're both happy.
Yeah, although I think some of the boys like High School Musical too.
Yeah, some of them. They just won't admit it.
They want to make it just a girl show. It's kind of a fun show. And I know everybody in the world is doing it. Every school is doing it. Every theater is doing it. But Disney does it right. I mean, they did an unbelievable job with that one.
Yeah, they sure did. The other show I'd like to talk to you about is the musical review or Ron Hawking, who is such a pro. His new show that just opened at the Mercury Theater, The Men and Their Music. Tell us what you thought of that show.
Well, I was very, very impressed. First of all, I've seen him do his Sinatra things before, and I kind of was not expecting his range of characters and how strong he was in most of them that he did. 95% of them were so recognizable and so well done.
Yeah, this guy is an impersonator, but he can sing in the style, too, and he's effective. It was amazing.
Well, his voice, his vocal range is much greater than I thought it was. And the other thing is that he just loves what he does, and you can tell it, you can feel it, that he, getting on that stage is like, that's what his life's all about, to make people want to move, to get the audience to dance. I mean, to me, the only thing that I would change about it, I would move it from the Mercury Theater. I would try to get it into more like a cabaret setting. I think people sitting at a table with a drink where they could have a dance
floor. Like the Black Orchard?
Yeah, the Black Orchard would be great. Yeah. Or the other place that might be a very effective thing that wouldn't have that same feeling, but for tourists would be when they close a Spelling Bee, that little, you know, the theater that they have at Water, you know, the Drury Lane. Because there's so many people that are downtown that this show, age group wise, would appeal to.
Unfortunately, they're bringing altar boys in there, which will probably have a long run. But I agree with you. That's the kind of venue.
Yeah, it needs to be an intimate theater, which the Mercury is. But I think the area that it's in, the neighborhood, it's a very young neighborhood. You know, standing outside at intermission, looking at all the restaurants with all the people sitting outside and eating, I think the average age became like 34, only because I came outside. It probably was 28 before I walked outside.
Yeah, when you and I came out, we aged the
we
average.
Aged the group around us.
Yeah,
it's a great show
because a lot of them don't know
in the 50s, that are 50 years old, you know, late 40s and 50s. My God, it's everybody they remember.
Yeah.
So it brings back a lot of memories.
It sure does.
You know, things that you did in high school and things that you did in college. And
well, he does Bobby Darin, Ray Charles, Lou Rawls, Jimmy Durante, Johnny Mathis, Nat King Cole, Tony Bennett.
Not only Nat King Cole, he did Nat King Cole's daughter.
Yeah, he did, and
did a great job. But I mean, he brought his Frank Sinatra back in, and he did Sammy Davis and Dean Martin, you know, the Rat Pack. But he did so many other people, and he did them so well, and he slipped in and out of each character as he changed.
That's why they call him the chameleon.
Yeah,
yeah.
He really does it well, quickly, and it's, you know, even when he was putting on little things, you know, in the background, you know, he's changing and, you know, grabbing his glass and his fake cigarette and all the other stuff. With having the girls' background, you know, doing some little vocals with them and having a very nice orchestra as well.
Yeah, they good sound. Yeah,
yeah, good sound, and for a small theater, he filled the place with music. I was very impressed. In fact, I think I've called all the guys that I bowl with who are my age group, and, you know, we're not bowling now, so I don't have a chance to talk to them, but I called them all and said, you got to see it. You got to see it.
Yeah, our mutual friend Marilyn Eisenberg said the same thing. She's been recommending it around to her circuit of people. It is a good group show, because you notice the group that was sitting up in the front, they were having a ball.
Oh, yeah, those ladies, I think one of them, I don't think she wanted to leave. You know, she just didn't want the show to be over. She probably could have stayed for a long time. But there were a lot of people I know that came in groups and have dinner at one of the restaurants, and then they came over there, and then they didn't like where their seats were, so they went up and they asked if they could move their seats around so they could all be together. So they ended up together, and they had a ball.
Yeah, this guy is such a consummate pro. He should be playing Vegas.
Yeah, but you know, it's hard because you got to. But you know, he's everybody talks about Danny Gans.
Yeah, right.
Who is magnificent. And now, I got to tell you, I'm putting him on the same level with Danny Gans.
That's what Marilyn Eisenberg said, too. I have not seen Gans, but several people said that, too.
Yeah, because originally, like I said, I never knew his range to be this great. I thought, okay, he's good at what he does. He's found his little niche. He's going to do Frank Sinatra's. Like, there's, I'm sure, 100 people out there who do Elvis and only do Elvis and can't do anything else. So that's their niche. But here, he does it all.
Yeah, he sure does.
Yeah, and he does it with class. Very classy, and he's a local kid, so it's all, you know, he's from Chicago. It's always nice to see someone of your own do something that, and he feels it. You know, you watch him, and you feel that he's doing it for his people. That's the people of Chicago.
So in the dark days of August, we certainly have a terrific show to see. I think Ron Hawking is a major talent. He's worth seeing. It's a good date show, good group show.
Yeah, it is. It's just the only thing that people have to watch out when they go to that one is, when the Cubs are home for a night game or something, it's going to be a little congested in the area, so they better give themselves plenty of time to get down there.
And do valet park. Spend the money for valet parking because it's hard to park around it. But that's normal in a lot of the places.
Yeah, but it's just, you know, because it's Wrigleyville, you got a lot of stuff
that's
happening.
True.
But, but it's worth the trip from anywhere.
Well, Al, thank you so much. This has been terrific. And folks, just keep listening. We'll have a different guest reviewer on every week. Al, I'll see you around the theater.
I'll see you at the theater, Sam.
Okay, thank you.